This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 496. This episode, of course, is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also sponsored by Finagraph's cashflowtool.com, which is an innovative cash flow tool that syncs with your QuickBooks to forecast your cash flow with uncanny accuracy. If you want more information, go to www.cashflowtool.com/Barry. Well, a lot of you know that I've been practicing for karate for over 15 years. So one of my favorite authors has been Matthew Polly. He's the national best-selling author of American Shaolin and Tapped Out, a Princeton University graduate and a Rhodes Scholar. He spent 2 years studying Kung Fu at the Shaolin Temple in Henan, China. He's got a new book out called Bruce Lee, A Life. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Barry, for having me on again. It's an honor.
I can honestly say I've read everything you've ever wrote. And why do Bruce Lee now? It seems like there's been so much about Bruce. Why write yet another book on him?
Well, the first thing was my wife told me I had to do a book where I didn't get punched in the face. So she decided I'd had enough, that I only have so many brain cells left. You know, the thing that amazed me when I first started the book was that no one had done a comprehensive, authoritative biography of Bruce. The last one was 25 years ago, and it was very thin. And you know, it shocked me as a fan of Bruce Lee that Steve McQueen or James Dean or Marilyn Monroe, any of these celebrity icons who had died young, all had 6-7 good biographies, and Bruce Lee didn't have one. And I felt sort of insulted on his behalf and that he deserved a proper biography.
So why do you think no one really has taken on that challenge?
You know, I think partly it's because martial arts are still considered a little bit of a lowbrow subject in Western culture. It doesn't get the kind of mainstream attention that other activities get. And then I also think that Asian celebrities have a lower profile in Western media. You know, any white guy does anything gets a biography. But it's hard to think of a major Asian celebrity in our culture except for Bruce Lee. And so I just think that there's a kind of inherent bias that works against him.
So what was your focus for this book? Because you could really take it anywhere.
You know, I wanted to do to find out who Bruce Lee the man was. I first saw him in Enter the Dragon when I was a skinny, bullied 12-year-old, and he became my kind of childhood hero. And the only thing available about what his life was written by the martial arts magazines, which sort of turned him into the patron saint of Kung Fu, a kind of demigod. And so I wanted to figure out what made Bruce Lee tick. What was it that drove him to become the first Asian American to star in a Hollywood movie?
And what'd you find out?
You know, I thought the most interesting thing was that he came from an entertainment family. His father was an actor. Bruce appeared in a movie by the time he was 2 months old. And by the time he was 18, he had acted in nearly 20 Cantonese movies. None of them were kung fu movies. They were melodramas, comedies. And so I think he was driven in a typical way to kind of compete with his father, who was an actor, and he wanted to outdo him. And by falling in love with the martial arts, he combined his two passions, acting and martial arts, to become a martial arts movie star.
So what do you think was so magical about Bruce Lee? Because I'm always fascinated by him because he's one of those folk person that, you know, died when he was 33 and now he's been dead for 45 years. So he's been dead for longer than he was alive, kind of like Bob Marley, but still he's iconic when it comes to martial arts.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. One, of course, dying early is a great way to become famous. We have a special place in our heart for celebrities who die young because they die at the peak of their powers. But I think the second thing is Bruce Lee is really the founder of everything in the martial arts. before him, there were maybe 500 studios across the country. And after Bruce Lee, there were 20 million martial arts students in the West alone. And so Bruce Lee's popularity is what sparked the martial arts craze in 1973. It had been kind of going along before him a little bit, growing, but he was the one who turned on the fire hose. And so all of us, in a way, owe a debt to Bruce Lee for creating this incredible passion for something we love so much, the martial arts.
I find it so interesting because I think a lot of folks are attracted to martial arts because of the Bruce Lee style of it. But I think in the end, those of us like you and I that have practiced martial arts for a long time, the core of it is not really what we see Bruce Lee do in the movies.
That's right. And in fact, Bruce Lee had in his own life, had a very different perspective than what he did in the movies. And it's important to break the martial arts up between sort of the performative movie screen type acting martial arts, the street fighting stuff that you learn in a studio. But also Bruce wanted to emphasize the spiritual aspect that I often joke that Kung Fu was a way for China to trick 13-year-olds into meditating.
Right, exactly.
You know, young boys want to be tough. I was the same. I wanted to be tough and stop the bullies from picking on me. But as I got older and more mature, I realized that it was a way to sort of conquer my own demons and to also find a certain center and peace. And that's what the martial arts at their very deepest level are about.
Yeah, I love that because I think that a lot of us use martial arts to conquer our own demons. I want to switch a little bit, and we're talking with Matthew Polly, who's the author of Bruce Lee, A Life. You found out some very interesting things during the course of this research. You discover a discovery of Bruce Lee's Jewish ancestry. I find that hard to believe.
I did too. I ran downstairs. My wife's Jewish, and I said, "I found out Bruce Lee was Jewish." And she said, "Which ancestor?" And I said, "His great grandfather." And she said, "He wasn't Jewish, Matt. He had Jewish ancestors." So to be clear, his great grandfather was Dutch Jewish, born in Rotterdam to a Jewish kosher butcher, and he came over to Hong Kong and bought a Chinese concubine and had six children with her. And one of the children was Bruce's grandfather.
Oh.
And so that's the lineage. And what was amazing to me is 45 years later, no one had ever uncovered this. And so when I did, I was absolutely stunned.
Wow. Another thing you talk about is that Roman Polanski suspected Bruce might have been involved with the Manson murders. How is that?
Yeah, I know. That's incredible. So Polanski was one of Bruce's celebrity kung fu students. And at the Manson murders that killed Jay Sebring, who was a friend of Bruce's, and also Sharon Tate, who was Roman Polanski's wife, they found a pair of horn-rimmed glasses that they believed belonged to the killers. And Polanski was convinced that it was someone in his own circle. And one day when Bruce was teaching him, he casually mentioned that he had lost his horn-rimmed glasses. And Polanski, for a second, thought, oh, my God, could it have been Bruce Lee? I mean, he has the skill to do this. I can't imagine it, but he was suspicious. So he told Bruce, I'll take you to the store and buy you a new pair of glasses. And for the entire drive over, Polanski's terrified. They get to the store. Bruce puts his order in for the prescription, and it turns out to be completely different than what they found at the
wow.
scene of the crime. And so Polanski realized it wasn't him.
Wow. The last 2 minutes you have left, you said that there's a new theory on his cause of death because there's always been a lot of mystery surrounding with how Bruce Lee died.
Yeah, well, one of the things that was critical in discovering it was I went to Hong Kong for 6 months and talked to the two last people to see him alive, Raymond Chow, his boss, and Betty Ting Pei, who was his mistress. And he had gone over to her house, and he ended up dying there, and they were trying to cover up the affair. And because they were trying to cover up the affair, it led to all of this wild speculation that's gone on over the years. But I think what happened was that he died of heat stroke. That day he died, July 20, 1973, 45 years ago, was the hottest of the summer. And a few months earlier, he had had the sweat glands in his armpits surgically removed because he thought they looked bad on screen. And that made his body less able to deal with the heat.
It's pretty ironic, don't you think?
It's really ironic that the fittest, healthiest man in the world did something to sort of help him on screen that ended up probably, we don't know for certain, but it seems likely, ended his life early.
All right, the last question, I need you to clear up a mystery. The video out there that shows Bruce Lee playing ping pong with nunchucks has to be fake, right?
Yes, people keep sending me that, and they're like, Bruce Lee was so amazing. Yes, that was an advertisement for the Nokia phone, and they use CGI and a stand-in Bruce Lee, and so that's all green screen. He was great, and he was an amazing martial artist, but he couldn't play ping pong with nunchucks.
Well, Matthew, thanks so much for being on the show. The title of the book is called Bruce Lee, A Life. Where can people get in touch with you?
They can find me at mattpolly.com, mattpolly.com, and the book is available across the country everywhere.
Matt, thank you so much. This is AM 560, The Answer. We're going to be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning in the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center. I'm Jeremy Scott. Construction just causing a little bit of problems. You are heading out and about. Northbound 355 tight from 75th to the eastbound 88 ramp, southbound north to Butterfield. That's all due to additional road work closing additional lanes. Also, as you are traveling on the Dan Ryan, do want to let you know that inbound three left lanes are taken out right around the 95th Street Station. Then again, the two left lanes around the burn. Those should wrap up at 7, but I wouldn't be surprised they wrap up the burn interchange construction just a little bit earlier. Rest of your roads not looking too bad. No crashes, no delays. Keep in mind, though, the Air and Water Show kicks off later today, so expect additional traffic around the downtown area. If you're traveling out LaSalle, Grundy, Wilk, Kankakee, Livingston counties, dense fog advisory just kicked in not too long ago. Going to last until 9 a.m. this morning. Temperatures hovering around the mid-80s. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
My overrating's bad.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
I didn't know, too, that we could tip Uber drivers.
Didn't know.
This is new to me.
Every time you complete a ride, you get it pops up with a rating, and then if you want to add a tip. 2.5 Uber rating for Amy Jacobson, 4.88.
What?
This is for Dan Proft.
Do you just not even say anything to them when you get in the car?
Correct. That's the secret to getting a high Uber rating.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
When the need for senior care arises, there's no place like home. Your loved ones should never have to give up living at home. Visiting Angels will provide home care for your mom or dad at home up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You'll select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. Look up visitingangels.com or call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Franchises are available. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
What do you hear? Most people just hear an engine. We hear a 6.2-liter Hemi V8 with a supercharger that accelerates so fast, it'll suck the air out of your lungs and knock you back in your seat like you're an astronaut in a rocket ship hurtling through the stratosphere. But then again, we're not most people. We're the Brotherhood of Muscle. Dodge. Domestic. Not domesticated. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
So let's face it, Puerto Rico is an economic mess after the hurricane. So who's going to get it back on its feet? Well, I got one hint for you. It's probably not going to be our government. My next guest is a better solution. Betty Francisco is an entrepreneur, business executive, attorney, and community leader. Currently, she is general counsel at Compass Working Capital and the member of Pipeline Angels. Betty, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's a pleasure to be on.
So have some of the listeners think about, well, there are other parts of the country that have had these hurricanes, and they seem to recover just fine. What makes Puerto Rico really unique about where they find themselves?
Well, it's been a challenge for Puerto Rico because of the reliance on federal funding, which, as you know, has been difficult. They are in bankruptcy at the moment, and the package of in terms of recovery dollars was very, very difficult and long, right, to get them the funding that they need. And Puerto Rico was struggling even before the hurricane, right? So 3.4 million people live in poverty. The unemployment rate was already hovering above 10%. So given the situation that existed before, the hurricane just exacerbated that. So recovering from that standpoint is such a challenge. And Puerto Rico didn't have and doesn't have still the kind of infrastructure in terms of investors, the financing structure to really kick off that recovery.
I think there's some amazing statistics. You say that Puerto Rico has an unemployment rate of 12%. Now, I want to compare that to the rest of the U.S., which has an unemployment rate now of less than 4%. And you said that 60% of its small businesses have closed. Why has there been so much pressure on small business owners now after the hurricane?
Well, after the hurricane, a lot of the insurance companies didn't pay out the dollars to help those businesses restart. So you have that issue. The other was the power grid. Power was, and electricity in Puerto Rico remains unstable. In fact, I was there in April this year, and it was the same week that the entire grid went down. It was the first time that it went down across the island. So that kind of instability in power, and then the lack of dollars to rebuild, right, makes it a real, real challenging situation for the businesses to come back online. And the fact is that many of those small businesses, right, were they're single owner, pretty small. So without that kind of money to rebuild and repair, many of them elected not to even reopen, and many came on into the U.S. Right, there's over 200,000 Puerto Ricans that came over to the mainland.
So tell us a little about Pipeline Angels and the programs that you're starting to try to use private business to get Puerto Rico going again.
Sure. So Pipeline Angels is an angel investing bootcamp for women, and its mission is to change the face of angel investing by helping women to learn how to invest, and by virtue of that, creating more capital for women social entrepreneurs. So it's basically teaching women to invest so that they will invest in other women. It's something that's rather unique. I mean, if you look at some of the numbers, in terms of women angels, 26% of angel investors in the U.S. are women, but only 12.3% are Latina or Latino. And so what we're trying to do is create an incentive for more women to learn how to invest, to understand that they don't only have to do philanthropy, right? But many women now are coming into wealth. And so an option for them is to look at investing in small businesses and in businesses led by women. So I'm a graduate of the Pipeline Angels program. I did it in 2015. And the model is one that provides women who perhaps have never had any experience in investing, and it gives them a forum and a space where they can learn the basics of investing, how to basically create a portfolio for themselves, how to do due diligence, and you do it as a group. So it provides that assurance and deminimizes some of the risks that you might feel going into investing.
So are you really looking to find Latina angels in San Juan to invest in small businesses, or other Latina angels in other parts of the country that are willing to invest in San Juan?
Well, we're looking for both, right? So there are Latinas in Puerto Rico that meet the what we call accredited investor requirements. So in order to do angel investing, you have to be what's considered an accredited investor, right? Someone who can withstand the risk of these early stage investments. So that's someone that has a net worth of $1 million or has annual income of $200,000 individually or $300,000 with their spouse. So there are individuals in Puerto Rico, women, Latinas, that have that kind of wealth, but also many are here in the U.S. There are Latinas that are wealthy here and are looking to get more involved and support the island and the recovery efforts. So it's in both places that we're looking to basically create awareness that this program exists, that it'll provide the support to learn how to invest. And then the program that's launching in Puerto Rico is we elected to do it on the island, right, so that we could create and begin to create that community of investors right there. And I actually went last year before the hurricane to Puerto Rico to start to talk about the program. And there is an amazing community that exists already of Latina business professionals and potential investors, and they're excited about pipeline coming. I think now more than ever it's needed, and there's certainly a rally to get more women investing in women.
And Betty, what kind of industries or what kind of startups or incubators really looking at in San Juan?
So they vary. Pipeline, in fact, is launching with the support of some of the local incubators and accelerators, so Grupo Guayacan, Santurce Pop, Animus, and Parallel 18. Those are some of the startups there that have already been doing the work. And what we're seeing is a resurgence on the island in terms of startups focusing on clean energy, sustainable agriculture, resilient technology. So in addition to sort of, you know, the staple mom and pop businesses, food businesses, et cetera, there's also a lot of innovation that's happening on the island. But that needs to be fueled by capital. And so that's why we're just incredibly excited by the timing. I think, you know, if you're optimistic and you look at the challenges that the hurricane has presented, it's certainly an opportunity to create technologies, energy sources, and new types of businesses that can help sustain the island going forward.
So even under its best case, Betty, how long do you think it would take for Puerto Rico's economy really to turn around?
Well, the estimates are not—they're grim, right? I think the most recent estimate is that it would take at least 2 years just to stabilize the economy, and then to rebuild it could take upwards of 10, 15 years. So it really depends on how much capital can be invested, how quickly it can be done, and how much in terms of resources and political stability, is on the island.
Do you think that any more help is coming from the government?
Probably not. given our current climate, I'm not sure that Puerto Rico can completely rely on government help. And so I think it's up to the private sector and local economies and communities to help rebuild the island. And I think it can be done. I think it's, we've already seen just the incredible support that Puerto Rico has gotten by individuals and communities, even in the U.S. on the mainland. But I think we're going to have to come together as a unified, community, both public, private sector, and build really strong relationships, cross-sector partnerships to help rebuild Puerto Rico.
So last minute we have left, I mean, you're down in San Juan, and of course, the media has moved on to other things. You're not covering it anymore. What's the spirit of the people like now?
It's still challenging. In San Juan, which is where most of the tourism is and where much of the help was concentrated, it's starting to come back. When I was there in April, some of the major hotels were still closed, like the Ritz-Carlton and the Caribe Hilton. These are big, big chains that were, not reopened yet. A lot of the big hotels still had relief workers there. But some things were reopening, right? So the waterfall, that's, for example, El Yunque had just reopened.
Betty, thanks so much for being on the show, and best of luck with your program. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Larry Elder informs the left of the GOP's message.
The absence of any message on the Republican side is remarkable.
Are you kidding me? Well, the message is pro-business, lessening the burden on the American taxpayer, securing the borders, making sure we have Supreme Court justices that follow the Constitution. That's the message. What's your message?
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
News Radio. I'm Pam Puso. The president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, reacting to a New York Times report that special counsel Robert Mueller's team extensively interviewed White House counsel Don McGahn as part of the Russia investigation.
The best analysis would be that the Mueller team is panicking. They know they don't have a case. There was no collusion. There was no obstruction. They can't prove it, and they are trying to get the president to testify.
Giuliani speaking with Fox's Judge Jeanine. A Colorado man expected to be charged tomorrow with killing his wife and two daughters.
Court documents reveal the daughters had been submerged in crude oil for 4 days. They were found at the site of a petroleum company where Christopher Watts worked.
That's Fox's Jeff Paul. Severe storms canceling a Backstreet Boys concert in Oklahoma. Several fans hurt. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center. I'm Jeremy Scott. Still have construction out there, including on the inbound Dan Ryan, where three or left lanes are taken out at the 95th Street Station. Once you get past that, two left lanes closed at the berm for construction. Those should wrap up around 7. Also, 355 northbound, a little tight from 75th to the eastbound 88 ramp, southbound from north to Butterfield. It's all due to additional road work taking place through there. Rusty roads, not looking too bad. This update sponsored by Inbound.org. In places around the world, there are elders who long for community connection and the opportunity to live with greater dignity. Sponsor an elder through Unbound and help bring a brighter tomorrow to one person who has helped us all build a brighter world. Meet one at Unbound.org. Dense fog advisory for areas south until 9. Rest of the area going to see mostly sunny skies, temperatures in the mid-80s, 69 O'Hare, Midway, and 72 at the lake. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Cash flow. It's something every business is worried about. It's hard to know at any given moment how you're doing, and worse, it's impossible to predict the future. Until now. Welcome to CashflowTool.com, the ultimate companion for QuickBooks. CashflowTool.com gives instant visibility on any device, anywhere, of your cash flow and alerts for unexpected expenses. It analyzes past finances and projects how much money you'll have tomorrow, next week, and next month. Start your free trial now at CashflowTool.com/Barry. It's simple, powerful, and predictive.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. I've got ankylosing spondylitis, which is a arthritic disease, calcification of the major joints and spine, and I just don't have the pain that I used to have. It's really kind of amazing. Balance of Nature has been an amazing product. I've recommended it to literally hundreds. I'm a pastor, and I've said, y'all, just try it. Give it a month. Give it a try. And so hopefully they have. But it's an amazing product, and the neatest thing is when you first open up that bottle and you can smell the fruits and vegetables. Every time I open one, I just get a big kick out of that.
When you call, use discount code Chicago, and we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751, or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
As people delay retirement, more and more generations are being forced to work together. But can a baby boomer really work with a Gen Yer? Phyllis Weiss-Hassereau is the president of Practice Development Council, a business development organizational effectiveness consulting firm. She's got a new book out. It's called You Can't Google It, The Compelling Case for Cross-Generational Conversation at Work. Phyllis, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Barry. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're talking about this, because I think that a lot of folks from different generations just throw up their hands and say, well, I can't work with someone like that. What should we do?
Well, I think we should start talking to each other and try to get people of other generations' perspective. You know, what were the influences that formed their attitudes and their behaviors? You know, there's a reason behind why people do what they do. And we've got five generations now in the workplace.
Wow.
So
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't have to be so hard. And, you know, talking about what the insanity or craziness of business is, I think that so much of the generational disconnects are craziness and maybe not insanity, but unnecessary, because so much of it is about misunderstandings and misinterpretations and not taking the time to get to know people. I think we all should be seeking harmonious workplaces and eliminate ageism in all directions, whether it's up, down, sideways, and take advantage of the generational differences. Now, that's going to lead to more productivity and innovation and very important enjoyment at work. So I call this gendagement.
But I think it's difficult, because you have someone like me who is born in 1960, right? And I'm trying to work with someone that was born in 1993. And what they want to do, the way they want to work, is they want to either have the music blaring or have their headphones on or sing in a common area. And all I want to do is work in a quiet place. How do you bring those two things together?
Well, I think, first of all, we do need a variety of kinds of workspaces, because they should fit the situation. You know, whether if you're talking to clients or need a private conversation, you need walls. But it may be that it's good to have group discussions and comfortable places for people to do that. But I think one of the things is, if there's conflict, if there are things that you find irritating, it's really best to bring it up as close to the instance it occurs as possible. And just try to, in a non-accusatory way, find out what's behind it. And why do you have those earphones on? And, oh, that music blaring is another issue, because that's disturbing to people. But some people have their earphones on because people are talking around them and they're trying to drown that out. So, you know, that could be the reason, where they find it really motivates them more and energizes them hearing the music. So, you know, what is all that about? And what are the things that each person can bring to complement the assets you bring to a situation or a project?
You know, it's funny, Phyllis, as you were talking, I was thinking about when I was growing up and I used to listen to Bruce Springsteen, and my father used to yell from the other room, "What's that noise? Why is that guy in so much pain?" Right? And so I guess it doesn't really change that much from generation to generation. Maybe the situation or the format just evolves a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it is that people like and make them feel comfortable, and also common interests. I mean, it just might be that you have a lot of friends who share a lot of the same music tastes that you have. We're not, but it also might be people of other generations. Lots of people like Bruce Springsteen. He's been more than selling out all of his concerts in New York. It's a big hit, and a lot of them are older than their younger ones. I mean, so that's one of the things, is looking for common interests that you have with a person, no matter what their age is.
Yeah, and I believe that we can learn. There's something really to learn from every generation. And if we don't learn that now, we're probably going to repeat it somewhere else down the line.
Definitely true. We need everybody's experiences. And even people who have only been in the workplace for a short amount of time. And lots of things that are important, such as how they look at the marketplace and the friends that they have that might be going into new businesses that didn't exist when a lot of the boomers were, at their prime or before that. So they may have contacts that are very useful for business. Everybody has something to bring, and you got to talk about it.
Well, I love the idea that you founded the Cross-Generational Conversation Day, so I really appreciate how much you're contributing to the conversation. Where can people get in touch with you, Phyllis?
I'm on various social media. You can find me on Twitter, PW Hasbro, at PW Hasbro. I'm active on LinkedIn, someone on Facebook. My email address, and I'd love to hear from people, is PWHAS, as in Sam, EROT, at PD Council. That's PDCounsel.com.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
In the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center, I'm Jeremy Scott. So the Dan Ryan a little heavy right now, but not on the south end. Still have three left lanes taken out at the 95th Street Station until 7. Once you get past that, heavy 18th into the burn. That's because you're down to one lane until 7. Right now it's 18 from 95th all the way into downtown. 355 northbound also heavy from 75th to the eastbound Reagan Toll with an additional left lane taken out. Southbound slow from north to Barfield, additional two left lanes taken out. Those should wrap up later on in the weekend. Other than that, the rest of your roadways are looking good with no other delays or crashes to mention. Surface streets, for the most part, not too bad either. We're not hearing of any crashes, no blockages due to any crashes or any fire department or police activity. Forecast for today, a dense fog advisory for areas to the south. That's going to last until about 9 this morning, but temperatures in the mid-80s with mostly cloudy skies. It's 69 here in Midway. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Do you wake up at night worried about your business cash flow? Or worry about running out of cash, not knowing when your invoices get paid, or panic when a sudden expense happens? Well, worry no more. Welcome to CashflowTool.com, the ultimate companion for QuickBooks. CashflowTool.com gives instant visibility on any device, anywhere, of your cash flow and alerts for unexpected expenses. It analyzes past finances and projects how much money you'll have tomorrow, next week, and next month. Start your free trial now at CashflowTool.com/Barry. It's simple, powerful, and predictive.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
We all know the term work-life balance, but as a small business owner and entrepreneur, what does it really mean when we're spending so much of our waking hours actually at our company? Koki Barini, CFP, has been in the financial service industry and serving the needs of individuals and institutional clients and entrepreneurs since 1996. She's author of 2 books, The Perfect Day and The Liberated Investor, a 40 Under 40 recipient, Women CEO of the Year in 2012. Koki is currently climbing the 7 summits of the world and beat Stephen Colbert in the Charleston to Bermuda race in 2011, most importantly. Koki, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Barry. Glad to be here.
So, first of all, does the 7 summits include Everest?
It does include Everest.
So when is that scheduled for? You already been?
I feel like I just climbed my Everest. I just got off Denali last week.
Wow.
And not to take anything away from those who have summited Everest, Denali's a beast. You gotta do a lot of work. And thankfully, in the Khumbu region and in the Himalaya, there's a lot of support. You get a lot of people carrying a lot of your stuff. And I think that could probably, that theme could probably melt over into what we talk about today.
Yeah, and the best I ever did was climb Mount Washington in New Hampshire. That's the highest I've ever gone.
I haven't done it. I hear it's windy.
It's only about 5,000 feet. It is windy. So, and when you're in small business, how do you find this whole work-life balance in order to succeed? Or is that just a misnomer that we're always striving towards and we're never going to get there?
It is a misnomer, and it's imperfectly imbalanced. The offer of perfect day, I'm going to tell you, it's imperfectly, not a misquote or that's what I meant to say. It's imperfectly imbalanced is the way I get through my days and weeks and years. And I have a tool that we bring to entrepreneurs to say, you know, this is sort of your tool for success to have more perfect days in your business and in your personal life. And it doesn't look like this beautifully zenned, you know, wildflower field of balance and peacefulness. So, I mean, if you want to hear about that, I can share that. But I don't believe that work-life balance is achieved in a very it's not mixed up together. I believe they're very segmented. And so with that, you know, my 411 tool that I encourage entrepreneurs, non-entrepreneurs alike to use is to get the 4 things done that are going to create a perfect day for you before 11 a.m. And then you let the rest of the day go to the world. And so if you can kind of see the segmentation, it's sort of the first part of the day is for you and it's balanced and it's not balanced. It's like selfishly 100% towards you and perfect days and really what's going to make you feel like at the end of the day, you've achieved something different and of significance. And then after 11, who knows what happens? So your day can kind of go to pot, if you will. And so I don't know if you see the imbalance in that balance.
Absolutely. And I love that because I think a lot of times people confuse being busy with being productive. So what I tell people is I don't have 4 things. I tell people, well, you know, pick 2 things you're going to get done in the morning before you do anything else. Check your email, get distracted for anything else, so your day will have been productive. So I think we're really talking about the same thing, and it's okay
same
if the
thing.
Rest of, it's okay if the rest of the day is not in balance because you've already achieved the perfect day in the first couple hours.
You get it. You absolutely get it. It's not rocket science, but it does take focus and discipline to be committed to that process.
So how does climbing really fit into this whole thing? Because you've made some very large commitments to really make that part of your life.
Wow. You know, the end of Perfect Day, and if you know, can I do a plug? You know, for those listeners who are interested in getting the book, you can go to freebook.cokieberiti.com, download it for free. Because I'm super committed to this Perfect Day path. And so I want everyone to have it, because what happened to me way back in 2003, a non-climber, never climbed a mountain in my life, I sat down and wrote my very first Perfect Day. And in that Perfect Day in 2003, this Southern girl at East Coast, you know, at sea level, wrote that I'd be climbing the seven summits of the world.
Wow.
So I don't know where that came from, other than really being in a place of what I call lifestyle deficit disorder, which is I was on a hamster wheel and I needed off. And I needed off in probably such a bad way that the Perfect Day that came out with pen and paper was me climbing the seven summits of the world. It's really quite bizarre. But you too can have bizarre if you really want to commit to, you know, the Perfect Day process and really, you know, dig in deep to something bigger than your businesses and then the day-to-day hamster wheel. And that's, for me, what the seven summits are.
I think it's fantastic. Now, how far along are you in that quest?
I'm four in.
Four in. More than halfway.
And with Denali, yeah, well, with Denali down, it's actually a lot more than halfway. The biggie left is Everest, as you mentioned. But, you know, I don't lose sight of the journey. So,
sure.
You know, people often ask, it's almost like when you're having that yummy meal, like, oh, where are we going to eat next? You know, it's really almost defeatist when you're climbing Denali and people look at you and say,
right.
Oh, what are you going to climb next?
You can't overlook it. We're out of time, Cokie. Thanks for being on the show. The title of the book is called The Perfect Day. You can reach Cokie at alphavest.com. Cokie, thanks again, and good luck with the next three.
Barry, thanks for the time.
This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Ah, the sounds of summer. And this is the sound of summer skin being scratched because of the itching and irritation of what the season can bring. You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. Cortisone 10 makes summer sound fun again. Cortisone 10. Feel the heal. Use as directed.
I just can't stop scratching. Struggling to get relief from itching due to your atopic dermatitis, also known as eczema? If so, you may qualify for a clinical study testing an investigational medication for the itch associated with atopic dermatitis. Qualified participants will receive study-related care at no charge. Call 1-844-777-4824, 1-844-777-ITCH, or visit advandastudy.com for more information on how to participate. Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
You know, you and I are very much alike. During the many years of running my own company, I had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't quite going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar? It's especially difficult for me, since many of my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering. Second, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business was literally sucking the life and the money out of me. This was not exactly the way I thought it would be after reading all those books on having my own company. Well, don't worry. This is normal. Well, sort of, because during the life cycle of every small business gets stuck from time to time. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few leads for new customers coming in, and the customers you do have continue to phase. You're burned out, and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. You'll want to get off that roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride the entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be this way. I've had my ups and downs, and I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving any business forward. Over the years, I've worked with hundreds of corporate and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout decades of running my own businesses, I've identified six major areas where almost every business inevitably gets stuck. This is your year to get unstuck. As you journey through the Breakthrough Training Series, I'm going to show you a fast, easy, and permanent solution to get unstuck. Each of my modules includes a PowerPoint presentation, a video recording of me presenting these materials live, a downloadable lesson notes, and downloadable homework assignments. The MP3 recordings of selected interviews from some of the best known world leaders on this radio show is also included for free. Whether you learn best from watching, listening, or reading there, there's a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action for moving forward. So there are six modules, which I guarantee that you'll improve your sales if you utilize this system. Module one is finding new customers and growing the ones you have. Module two is finding money to manage your business because it's already there. Module three is building a team that actually lasts. Module four is to realize that customer service is now the new marketing. Module five is breaking your social media addiction. And module six is the real trick to boosting your productivity. So right now, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price of $97. You'll learn the exact step you need today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining this week's radio show. I also want to thank our sponsors, Staples, Nextiva. I also want to thank our tremendous staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, then you got to give me a call. And I'm going to give you my private number. Get a pen, write this down. 773-837-8250 or email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you move your business ahead? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money that you know you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Your daughter's wedding is-